Blog Talk Radio.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
Greetings! Cheers!
Hola!
Cinderella story, out of nowhere.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
I'm in good company when I'm with stupids.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Hey, Los Cachos!
Play it once there. For all time's sake.
When it's time to change, you know it's time to change who you are and what you're gonna be. Sha na 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 na. Sha na 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 na.
You guys are just amazing, and it's been a huge pleasure to watch you rise to the top.
You talking to me?
Matt and Jay, take it away.
Greetings, cheers, and welcome to I'm With Stupid. This is the Matt Man coming to you live from the Palatial Digs here in Bagwine, Ohio. And sitting next to me, as always, a mere few hundred miles to my right, a man whom the only trafficking in which he engages is the trafficking of laughter, the irrepressible J-Man.
Hola, and welcome, everybody, to a very special edition of I'm With Stupid.
Yes. Going to be a little serious.
Very special. Going to be a different kind of show today. If you call in for the, or listening in for all the yucks and the hilarity, then you'll have to wait till another show.
Yes. And in the meantime, how are you this fine morning, Damon?
I'm great. It's a little cloudy, a little chance of rain, a little rainy last night, but 55 degrees in
January. Excellent. We're going to be in the low to mid 40s today.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
That's not bad. As we, every day you go through January with it still decent weather is a very positive thing.
Yes, it is. You're ahead of the game.
Yes, because Mr. Snow could come at any time.
So
how are things with the Matt Man?
Things are okay. Schmoop got all her staples out and two of her three tubes pulled out the other day. She can actually
Excellent.
Move around without getting caught on a doorknob or something like
well,
that.
She sounds good. She sounds completely normal, or you know.
Well, yeah.
Smoop
well,
normal. Smoop normal. Yeah. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. But yeah. And so things are looking up.
All right. We got a little crowd forming in the chat room.
Yeah, I got a nice little crowd. We got Average Chick. We got a guest. We've got the uber lovely Canadian Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
And our favorite Jersey girl, J-Man.
Miss Diane is here.
Yes.
She is. All right. Okay.
So today, folks, we're going to be talking about human trafficking. January 11th, is Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And we're going to try to get some information from someone who's in the know on this very topic.
All right.
And I believe she's on the line.
She's with
so
us.
Let's pick that up and get this ball rolling.
Let's do it.
831, you're with Stupid.
Hey there.
Hello, Catherine.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Catherine.
How are you today?
Thanks for... Oh.
I am well, thank you.
Good.
Well, thanks for joining us. I know it's early where you are.
Yeah.
No, it's not that early. Just a little after 8.
Yeah. You an early riser?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's good.
I've been up for a while. I've had plenty of caffeine. I'm good to go.
Excellent.
There we go. Okay.
Well, thanks for having me on today.
Oh, no,
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different kind of thing for us, going serious every once in a while just to prove that we can.
And then you both laugh.
Well, no, it's,
well, you know.
Doing this show is kind of our version of Lent. We're trying to...
Oh, okay. This is your PSA for the year, huh?
Hey, there you go. Very good. Excellent, yes.
Our good deeds, yeah.
No, and J-Man and I, when we're doing our intensive show prep, we sometimes look at the calendar and see what events are coming up, and we had noticed that this Friday, January 11th, is Human Awareness or Human Trafficking Awareness Day, and I remembered that you had been pretty involved in advocating in this area.
I am. That's correct. Actually, all of January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, declared by President Obama. And in September of last year, he issued an executive order towards the efforts on behalf of the United States government to eradicate human trafficking and those types of situations in all government contracts. So that was a pretty big recognition from our executive branch on a federal level.
Nice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you mentioned human trafficking, and Jay and I have talked about it and read some stuff. And for our audience, what just basically like a human trafficking 101, what is that?
Human trafficking, well, let's see. A lot of people get confused. They hear the word traffic. It brings to mind a street or running or traffic, and people think it's an immigration issue. And it really isn't an immigration issue. People also get caught up in whether or not it's a prostitution issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really a prostitution issue, although, granted, there are elements of both illegal immigration and forced prostitution involved in human trafficking. And, just because a lot of what happens and doesn't happen is based on laws, I tend to defer to the federal definition of human trafficking, and the three main words in that are force, fraud, and coercion.
Right.
And in 2000, there was the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which is, of course, referred to as TVPA, and that defined the severe forms of human trafficking as, I'm going to quote it so I get it right, the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for sex trafficking in which the Commercial Sex Act is influenced by force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the person induced to perform such act has not yet attained 18 years of age, or labor or services for the use of fraud, fraud, and coercion for the purposes of subjugation to involuntary servitude, peonage, debt bondage, or slavery. And they define coercion, including threats of physical or psychological harm to children and or their families. And they acknowledge that any child under the age of 18 who is engaged in commercial sex is a victim of human trafficking. So that just defines it. It's not only sex trafficking in our country and in foreign countries. It includes people who are forced to work in, a lot of it's the service industry, restaurants and hotels and resorts, and agriculture is a big one in this country.
Yeah.
And
let me stop you there. Could you repeat that whole definition of human trafficking for? I'm kidding.
But you know what it is people are forced to work, and they don't receive the payment for it. Somebody else is receiving the payment for it, and I think that's where what comes to mind for me is the effort to shut down the erotic services sections of Craigslist. And a lot of the people who were in the prostitution industry stood up and said, no, don't do that. We need this to advertise. And, it's not a prostitution issue. If it's a story like like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, you know, where she gets to decide who and she gets to decide where and she gets to decide how much, then okay. Right? But these are people who are taken from their homes. They are put in unbelievably atrocious conditions. drugged and beaten and forced to do things, and they do not receive payment for, this is going to sound crass, but services rendered.
I knew you were going to say that, and, yeah, and no, and, no, that
well,
wasn't
so,
crass. That's
so
the way it is.
And what one of the reasons that it's receiving such a high level of attention is within the last year, it's gone not only in our country but worldwide, but specifically in our country, from being the third largest revenue generator for organized crime to the second, and that's with guns and drugs.
Wow.
And they estimate it's something along the lines of $32 billion a year. And there are, you know, some some pretty specific reasons for that. You know, jump right in here, otherwise I can talk for the entire hour.
Well, I was going to ask you who the traffickers are, and you just mentioned about organized crime. Are they, like, you know, worldwide syndicates,
well,
like
know,
the mafia? Are they the primary traffickers, or are they just shadowy groups kind of loosely together? Off the grid,
a lot of times when we say organized crime, we do think mafia, and we think the Sopranos or the Gambinis, right? That's what,
right,
that's what calls to mind.
Or
the Corleones.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, the Hollywood version of the Italian mafia had. And in reality, you know, there was an honor among thieves, and and that's kind of degraded. That doesn't exist. You know, in our country, there are a lot of ethnic gangs,
right?
And those are organized crime,
right,
whether it's the Russian gangs or the Vietnamese triads, or you know, the Latino gangs that we see a lot of here in California. And
right,
those, you know, and or you know, even something as white bread as, you know, motorcycle gangs, you know,
right,
not the weekend warriors, but I'm, you know, the true run 1%ers are involved in guns and drugs, right?
Hmm.
You know,
right.
So you know, organized crime. is not necessarily, you know, you don't want to think of it as a family. You want it, organized crime is when a group of people get together and they do something illegal to make money. And guns and drugs are one of those things that brings in a lot of revenue. And so why are they getting into specifically sex trafficking? You know, we're not really talking about forced labor when we talk about organized crime too much. But you know, it's far easier to obtain the inventory. You know, you don't have to go out and deal with the type of people who will sell you a large quantity of guns or drugs. Kidnapping a runaway girl or a throwaway child is pretty easy.
Yeah.
And you know, a young teenager who has nobody in her life or is going through that awkward, weird, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-old bullshit that a girl goes through, you know, it's pretty easy to convince her that when she has no one, that you can take care of her, and you know, this is not advanced psychology. Pretty
right,
easy to groom somebody and then take advantage of them. There's nowhere the near capital investment. You don't got to spend a lot of money to steal a girl, you know, like you do when you buy an inventory of guns or drugs. And the punishment, this is a big one, the punishment for selling the services of a little girl are far less severe than getting caught with a gun or a drug. There's just really no deterrent. And you know, the part that makes me kind of crazy, and I'll try not to get too rant and raving on this one, is, you know, unlike a, you know, an AK-37 or 47 or an ounce of coke, a girl can be sold over and over and over again. And that's what we're seeing frequently 5 to 10 times a night, every night. You know, in horrific, disgusting, filthy places, and you know, where she's beaten and drugged beyond being able to make any choices. And when you think about it, you know, it's a really difficult situation to have to describe to groups of people or to politicians because it evokes such a horrific mental picture. The cringe factor, you know, I call it the cringe factor. The cringe factor is very high. People don't really want to hear about it. People don't really want to talk about
right.
it. And then when you substitute that picture for a 13-year-old girl, that's where, you know, that's what sets me off. That's where I get involved.
Well, there you go. And let me stop you right there just so I can say if people would like to call in and talk to the obviously passionate Catherine about this issue, you can call in at 661-244-9852. And actually, Catherine, we have a phone call. So let me pick that up.
No, that's our friend.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I thought it was a Kentucky.
Put her back on hold there.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, it's an issue in this country. It's an issue in other countries. There are places that are billed as sex tourism.
Yeah, I was going to say there are actually a lot of countries where it's legal, and that's obviously a big part of the problem, is that you have, you know, half the world saying no and a portion of the world saying, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, and you know, the organizations that I participate with, one in particular that is really successful and rather involved internationally, only works in areas where the law is against child forced prostitution or slave labor. And what they do is they actually partner with local law enforcement and government officials and help them enforce the laws that are on the books.
Right.
You know, it's not
right.
Like
and I made a joke. I'm sorry. I made a joke earlier about government being part of organized crime, but in some governments across the world,
sure,
it is, and we do actually have a phone call now. So,
we have a legit call now.
Yes, we do. 732, you're with Stupid and with Catherine.
Hey, guys. Hey, Catherine. It's Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hey, guys. Catherine, I've got a couple of questions, actually. The first one is, do you think that the human trafficking problem, particularly for sex work, would be lowered, lessened, if prostitution were legal?
I do not.
Okay, that was my impression as well, because most of the workers, so to speak, I mean, the people being exploited are children.
A large majority are in this country. Although there are huge contingents in agriculture. Now, there was recently some activity in the tomato fields in Florida, and one of the largest cases in human trafficking was actually in Hawaii, where a very large farming contingent had hundreds, I believe, of Philippine workers there against their will.
For agricultural work, for field work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think, you know, there's been a lot of studies lately, and I'm not incredibly familiar with them, on countries who have made prostitution legal. I want to say one of them is Australia, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Where they now are like, regretting the decision.
Really?
And, you know, I'm a big proponent of states' rights, personally. That's my political leaning. And I think prostitution and other issues should be decided at the state level, not the federal level. So, you know, there are states in our country where prostitution is legal. And, you know, we're pretty
and the problem is the same.
And the problem is the same.
Yeah.
My second question is...
I was just saying that would be Nevada, where they have the legalized prostitution, but they also have that is one of the states with the biggest problems with the flesh trade.
Yeah, I didn't really think there'd be a correlation, but, I mean, clearly Catherine, just from listening to her for 20 minutes, really knows what she's talking about. I did some volunteer work many, many years ago for the Children's Defense Fund,
mm-hmm.
and all those years ago, this issue was quietly being spoken about, and it astonishes and disgusts me that so little has really been done to tackle this issue.
Well,
I mean, so long ago this was being talked about.
Diane, one of those reasons is because 13-year-olds can't vote.
Absolutely.
That's very true.
Absolutely. And they're not in the demographic that makes NBC number one for the night.
And they don't have high-paid lobbyist firms working on their
behalf. Absolutely, which is a huge problem and, you know, why our system is so broken, which kind of actually falls into my second question, Catherine, whether or not I heard you say that it had risen from the third problem to the second one, I believe you said.
Yes.
Or that it had increased, obviously. I'm assuming that our economy has a lot to do with that.
You know, that not only is in the United States, but that's a worldwide increase. I don't know.
The worldwide economy is falling apart. I mean, poorer people are just getting poorer everywhere.
Well, the criminals are still buying and selling guns and drugs. And I don't think that people. And, you know, this is not a G-rated show, correct? But I don't think people are raping children because of the economy. I think one of the reasons
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. What I meant was there were, you know, you were discussing the incredibly vulnerable, you know, your example of the 13-year-old girl. There are more and more vulnerable loss children out there than ever before.
And they're easier to find now.
Yes, that's what I meant by the
internet,
economy playing a factor.
The internet has given rise to the ability to locate children, to groom them,
mm-hmm.
to initiate contact, and to then sell them. And the ability to transfer money electronically, you know, you're not paying cash all the time now. You know,
right.
It just happens and it goes into an account that is hidden or not connected. But you know, there's like you said, you know, when you worked for the Children's Defense Fund X number of years ago, you know, this wasn't talked about as much.
And Diane, I think
Obama has made it, you know, an issue. It is an executive order. It is a, you know, and it seems like there's always, like you guys were saying, researching your show, you're always looking to see, you know, last week it was Bacon Day, right? And, you know,
every day is Bacon Day with these two, Catherine.
There you go. You know,
it doesn't.
So,
I mean, bacon can be approached from very many angles with these two guys.
Yeah, I know. So, yes. But so I think, you know, I think that there's a lot of reasons, but, you know, even people in my life who, you know, I'm a grown-up, and people who are professionals, and they know that I do this, they know that I travel to do this, they know that I spend a lot of time and money in this effort, and, you know, they say to me, now, what is it again? This is about people coming across the borders, and I want to slap them. You know,
I don't blame you.
And
if you'd like me to start slapping people on the East Coast for you, I will.
When I lived in Springfield, Missouri, which was like 12 years ago, there are a number of massage parlors around town, and they would always be getting raided all the time because they were just, you know, prostitution joints. And mm-hmm. there were people who were saying, look, the women who are in these places are not prostitutes, they're slaves. And it was clear that nobody Nobody in the police, the city government, yeah, the state wanted to hear it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And still, part of that, one of the issues there is, until recently, there haven't been any laws on the books to deal with this. And sometimes I have a very naive outlook on things, you know. You look at a situation and it is easily recognized that this is wrong, this is bad, there's nothing in anybody's mind that would make this a good thing. Why can't the police step in and stop this? Because there's no law for them to
There's
do
no
that.
Law.
They can't they can't just step up and take care of what's right and wrong. And even in, you know, California this last November passed what they called the CASE Act, and it passed by the largest majority of any proposition ever in California's history, 81.6%. I mean, that is absolutely phenomenal. That does not happen here. And that was to strengthen the laws for the people who are convicted of human trafficking. It is to there's a little bit of a controversy over the sex offender being required to register their internet stuff and things like that. So there's work to be done at the federal level, and there's work to be done in every single state. And
a lawyer, Catherine, or
I am not. I am not. But I have
See,
spent,
people like you should be.
Oh, thank you. As opposed to
the people who are.
yeah.
Sorry,
I'm
lawyers.
On that. I kind of stumbled across this issue about 4.5-5 years ago.
And I was going to ask you that. How did you get involved in all this?
Well, you know, I had seen, I don't know now if it was 2020 or 60 Minutes or something like that, a pretty famous report where they went into a brothel with, you know, undercover cameras. It was all shadowy and infrared, and they rescued all these, like, little girls, I mean, 8-9-year-old girls. And they had been clued into this place by an American who was over there. And, you know, there was footage of him bragging and telling the undercover journalist, you know, just atrocious things. And that was actually a raid that was organized with the local law enforcement by an organization called International Justice Mission, IJM. And I had seen that, and I was appalled, and it was awful. And a couple months after that, I heard one of their vice presidents speaking. I did not know that that was what I was going to hear. I was not there for that reason. And I was like, what? And I kind of put the two and two together. And I talked to him afterwards, and I kind of, you know, got some information and got on their email list and crap like that. And in the months following that, I had an illness in my family, and I took some time off from work. I had a lot of time on my hands. I did a bunch of just personal research, and I looked into a couple different organizations, including IJM, and I just started to learn more. And the more I learned, the more it kind of took hold in my brain. I'm not a cause person. I don't jump from issue to issue. I don't spend a lot of time protesting anything. But this one was just a little bit beyond what I could tolerate. And that's how I got involved.
All right. So do you do lobbying and everything at the...
I do. I've been to D.C. a few times. And this past year I was in Sacramento, which is the capital here in California. And we lobbied for 3 specific bills, not propositions, not things that the voters would vote on, but the things that the legislation would vote on.
Right.
And in the final moments... our Governor Brown, signed all 3 of the bills that we had been asking for. So we were pretty happy about that.
Well, that's good. And Jerry rocks, by the way.
What's the,
he's doing some
what's
good
the D.C. lobbying effort like? It's so dysfunctional there.
You know what? the organization that I work for, that I advocate with, is pretty well established in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And they, you know, you have to be vetted. They don't just let anybody show up. It's, last year it was 140 people, which was their all-time record. Not every state is represented. And they provide training for people who hadn't done it before, and they also give you talking points as well as information in a professional manner to leave with your congressperson or senator. And they make the appointments for you, and you're on a schedule, and you're not by yourself. You're with anywhere from one to four other people.
Yeah, right. Well, that's good, because you wouldn't want to be alone with a congressman.
Well, I don't think well, there's always an aide, even if you, and sometimes you don't actually meet with themselves. You meet
right.
with a legislative aide or another staff member. But it's a really interesting thing. The organization strongly encourages, if not requires, that you, you know, when in Rome. I wear a black suit, a conservative black suit. I don't wear all my earrings. I, you know.
Yeah, just to be taken
seriously.
Well,
you know what? Yeah, because you don't want how you appear to be a distraction.
Right.
You want to look just like everybody else so that, you know, business to be done. And one of the things I have to say is, you know, it's one thing for the people from Maryland and Virginia to show up. But when you're from another state that's not surrounding, and even states like Indiana or Ohio or Arkansas, they are absolutely blown away that you have come to see them. Because, you know, people come to see them to get tickets to go on the White House tour or, you know, oh, let's go see my senator's office. But people don't travel to advocate for causes.
Right.
Very often. And, you
no,
know,
they call to scream at them, though.
Right. Right. So, you know, and there are call-in days, absolutely. I am stunned every time. You know, a couple of the organizations do things like collect postcards, which is basically like signing a petition, but it's, you know, one piece of paper for one signature. And if you walk in there with 100 postcards signed by constituents, they are
mm-hmm.
blown away. And I think in 100 postcards, are you effing kidding me? There are millions
uh-huh.
of people in a 100-mile radius of where I live that you represent, and you're thrilled with 200 postcards? You know, that is what stunned me. And you know, there's something to be said for, you know, speaking to power, you know, speaking truth to power.
I would think that one of the easiest things a person like me could do, who never really got that involved in the issue before, would first be that I should go and I should check any statements or the record or whatever of my congresspeople.
You could absolutely do that. There's a national
and actually, Diane, and this is a good segue, Catherine, if people want to get involved in this and work on this problem, what do you suggest they do?
Just to both be informed and to get involved, I would recommend a couple different organizations. The Polaris. I'm sorry,
go ahead.
One is the Polaris Project.
Right.
And they can be found at polarisproject.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a national organization. They are an NGO, nonprofit, non-government organization, nonprofit. But they are the ones who facilitate the federally funded national hotline.
Yeah, and I was on their website this morning.
Were you?
Yes.
A good site. They're good
yep.
people. The,
mm-hmm.
There's a federally funded 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline for information for people who suspect that they've seen something that is a human trafficking situation, and for victims themselves. They have
wow.
connections to law enforcement in any place in the United States, as well as interpreters. I mean, I think there's like 180-some different interpreters, because, you know, there's different dialects in Chinese and so on and so forth. But they have this is a federally funded hotline, the Polaris Project Man. And I would start there. They have links to every state in the United States and what laws are going on there and organizations that you can be in contact with. A lot of metropolitan areas have task forces. Yeah, I can't say that. And you can probably Google that, you know, for your own zip code or your own area. Two organizations that I spend a lot of time with are, like I said, International Justice Mission, IJM.org. They're based in Washington, D.C. They have a lot of presence both nationally and in foreign countries on this subject. They also sponsor aftercare homes and shelters for people who have been rescued, which is a big part of this. Also, just not one that I'm personally involved in. And IJM is a faith-based organization. The other one that I spend a lot of time with is called Not For Sale. And
I was on their site this morning as well.
Yep. I was on it yesterday.
Uh-huh. And they really have taken a completely different away. The guy that started Not For Sale, that's actually based in Half Moon Bay, which is about half an hour from where I live. And the guy that started Not For Sale is a friend of somebody I've known since I was 12 or something. But they've done some amazing work with an orphanage that is on the Thailand-Burma border, and these children have no nationality. They are throwaway children who don't have papers, so they don't qualify for any services whatsoever. They've also just recently started in the last couple of years a program in Amsterdam where they have a soup kitchen that provides soup to the girls behind the windows. I don't know if you're familiar with location in Amsterdam. It becomes self-funded, you know. People can work in the kitchen, and it's a very, they've done some really spectacular things. They've gotten a lot of sports players and rock musicians involved to support the cause. And in a lot of cases, this is just raising the awareness. They are not a faith-based organization, but they have a whole division that deals with churches and synagogues and temples and stuff like that. The trend that I'm seeing, and this is just Catherine talking off the top of her head, is that, and Diane, what you were speaking to about the economy, there just isn't a lot of money from federal or state government to do things right now.
Yeah.
And these programs, whether it's making the raid or making people aware or taking care of the survivors, costs a lot of money. And that money is coming from donations and from faith-based organizations.
Yeah.
You know, who answer the call to seek justice.
Well, there you go. Oh, you mentioned sports players are involved in
mm-hmm.
this. Any Santa Cruz Warriors involved in this?
Not yet. You know,
well, you got to get on them.
That's really funny that you should say that, because I had an interesting conversation with actually the guy who's the pastor of the church that I go to, because several of the players are looking, for a home church. They're only here for a couple months. They're only here for 4 months. For people who don't follow my craziness on this, the NBA has a development league, a farm team, and they recently moved the Golden State Warriors farm team from Bismarck, for crying out loud, to Santa Cruz. And so, against a lot of hippie objection, we built an arena here in something like, I don't know, 70 days. It was crazy. And we have 24 home games of professional basketball in my backyard. And I got in early.
Farm team games are so much fun.
Oh, they're amazing. I mean, these kids are 23 to 26, 7 years old, you know. But
the fans are so invested in them.
I'm totally into this. You know,
yeah.
Two-thirds of my family are futures. I was raised under Purdue basketball, and And I went to UCLA, saw a lot of basketball there. I am totally thrilled. And I got it, you know, I was totally excited about this early on, and my kids and everybody else was like, I'm going to get tickets. And I was like, I need to get tickets. I don't want to. This is stupid. You're never going to do that, blah, blah, blah. And now there's like a waiting list of people who want to use my tickets. You know,
yeah.
They're like, who should do this? So I'm pretty excited. But
they were in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Yeah, that's crazy. I know. Who
knows? I bet they're happy about that move.
Oh, are you
really?
Kidding? The beach.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring this back around talking about sports. There's a really great guy named Jeremy Alfeld who's a relief pitcher for the world champion San Francisco Giants. And he's been with Not For Sale for a really long time. He donates money every strikeout, and he speaks, and he's just gotten back from a trip to Thailand to visit that orphanage that I was talking about. He's strongly affiliated with Not For Sale, and an interesting guy to pay attention to. I think he's going to be an up-and-comer as an athlete as well as an advocate.
Excellent.
Oh.
Excellent. Okay, well, we've got about 4 minutes left.
Okay,
we've got about 4 minutes left, so we
want to chat.
Yeah.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Catherine,
thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
You were terrific. You were terrific.
Oh, well,
I have learned so much, and I'm so impressed with your ability to explain it so clearly and to make people feel as though there is something they could realistically do to change the life of a child.
Well, thank you, Diane. Share what you've learned.
Absolutely. I'm going to put it on Facebook. Guys, I assume that all of the links that Catherine described you'll put on your website, right?
Yeah,
I guess we will now, Diane.
I know you were going to do that. You know, I'll link to you guys on my Facebook and on my blog.
All right.
Okay. Well, we'll put them on the blog. We'll put them on the Tumblr. We'll put them on the Facebook page. We will put them everywhere.
And, getting the word out is so much of the battle.
And if there's big, huge initiatives that come up throughout the year or big, you know, legislation or something like that, let us know. And we'll bring people's attention to that too. And you're always welcome to come back.
Yeah,
we may do this
say,
as
we'll
this
back,
may become a may become a regular feature here.
There you go. We could do that.
All right,
guys. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. And thank you,
Catherine.
Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
Oh, guys, you're welcome. This was so well done. I'm so well done. Thank you.
Yeah. The caller quotient initiative could have been a little better, but that's okay, Diane.
It's Wednesday morning. What do you want?
The caller quotient initiative? Listen to you. Catherine, you changed them in ways in which I cannot begin to thank you for.
Thank you, Diane. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's sweet.
Take care.
Thanks, Catherine.
Okay. I'm saying goodbye.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Well done, guys.
And thank you.
Well,
that was
all
right. That worked out pretty well. That went well.
Yeah. And I'll check the blog and stuff, and I'll link your show on Facebook so that people can listen to this.
Awesome.
Well done. We're going to get cut off in a second, I know.
And then Saturday, Diane. Oh, it's going to be a big show. Saturday,
I keep
Diane,
falling
and
asleep,
everyone. We're
Daddy.
Doing a local news show.
We're going to do
cool.
local news this Saturday. Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, because God knows Ohio and Arkansas got a lot of local news.
Oh, yeah.
You betcha.
Most of it involves meth.
And
as
still.
Well as New Jersey, too.
And ironically, human trafficking as well.
And,
well.
And the endless DUIs going back and forth between the meth labs.
Yes, that's exactly
because
right.
Jersey has a mass transportation problem. See, if we had better mass transportation, they could get
Diane,
to the lab easier.
Diane.
They're going to cut us off.
Bye. Love you guys.
Love you, Diane.
Good job.
Love you, Diane.
Bye.
See you, Jay.
Right. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep. Bye, guys.